CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Bahrain, an island and a story in the reawakening of the whole of the Middle East. Within these last hours, a visit from two significant Israeli ministers. First, the defense minister, and then the prime minister, to a kingdom that is oil-rich and vulnerable to outside actors. To help me understand this story, I welcome research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Hussein Abdul Hussein, writing most recently in the Washington Examiner, first about the momentum of the Abraham Accords, this whole region transforming its understanding of prosperity and security, and then about the significance of Bahrain and the challenge by the Tehran regime. Abdul, a very good day to you. First, the visit of the two ministers, first the defense minister and then the prime minister. What does this mean to the people of Bahrain and to the future for Bahrain? Good evening to you.
Good evening. This is very significant because Bahrain has finally decided that to give up the taboo of opening up to Israel and even allying with Israel and what's in the best interest of the Bahraini people. We know that Bahrain has been under a threat from Iran for decades. Iran has always stated claims that Bahrain was part of Iran. Iran even called for annexing Bahrain. And Iran has sponsored a lot of trouble, protests, rallies, even terrorism inside the small island nearby. So I think now Bahrain sees significance in making a common cause with Israel in standing up to Iran's bullying, not in Bahrain only, but throughout the region.
This is an island nation, Bahrain, and it is dominantly Sunni Islam. However, at the same time, it is challenged in the region of all the vulnerable states to the bad acting of not only Iran, but also its surrogate, the Houthis of Yemen. Recently, Abdul, there was much attention to the firing of long-range weapons by the Houthis at the UAE. Is Bahrain equally threatened by the Houthis? Is there a conversation about air defense the way we know is true in UAE and Saudi Arabia?
Bahrain is certainly vulnerable to Houthi missiles. Bahrain is even more vulnerable to Iranian missiles because Bahrain is only 170 nautical miles away from the Iranian coast, which makes it really easy for the Iranians to target Bahrain. But in what I'd like to say about the Houthi and the Bahrain is that had the Iranian plans succeeded in Bahrain, we would have seen something very similar to Yemen happening in Bahrain. What happened in Yemen was that protests started against a government, and then Iran sponsored the protest, toppled the government, took over the country, and transformed the country into an Iranian missile base. If Iran ever manages to take over Bahrain, we'd expect Bahrain to become something very similar to Yemen, an Iranian missile base from where Iran will just launch missiles against all the neighboring countries.
You mention in your report at the Washington Examiner that the Israeli defense minister not only met with the king and the crown prince, but also signed a memorandum of military cooperation between Bahrain and Israel. What does that mean? Does that bolster? You already have the Fifth Fleet. I mean, good heavens. The Fifth Fleet looks like defense. So what in addition can the Israelis or are the Israelis looking to provide?
Well, Israel is much closer geographically to Bahrain, and they share similar concerns, especially the threat from Iran. Now, granted that the Fifth Fleet can offer Bahrain and many other Gulf countries protection against possible Iranian attacks, but we in America don't see the threat or don't feel the threat the same way the people of Bahrain and the people of Israel feel the threat of Iranian missiles, possibly nuclear missiles, if the world doesn't do anything about it. So I think in this agreement, Bahrain will offer Israel some maritime basing rights, and most importantly, they'll offer them a base for intelligence collection, which is very crucial at this point.
Now, what I've learned from you is something entirely new to me. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and perhaps the Persian Empire before, make claims on Bahrain as territory, claims that remind me of the People's Republic of China making claims on Taiwan, or of the Russian Federation making claims on Crimea and Ukraine. How does this claim look to the people of Bahrain? Does this look as if the Iranians are stirring up old stories, or is this a fresh story that the Iranians are capable of annexing Bahrain?
It's a relatively old story. Iran has always staked claims and even annexed, in some cases, islands in the Gulf. These include three islands that belong to the UAE. They've been trying to pressure Bahrain, and this is one of the reasons that have pushed Bahrain very close to Saudi Arabia all these decades, and now pushing Bahrain closer to Israel. So this is an old claim, and it cannot be substantiated, because the absolute majority of the population in Bahrain is Arab-speaking, is ethnically Arab, whether Sunni or Shia. And even on the Iranian coast that oversees Bahrain, the majority of the population inside Iran are ethnically Arab speakers, Iranian citizens who've been suffering some sort of racist treatment from the Iranian government over the past two decades.
So the Iranians have managed to alienate everybody in the neighborhood, if I understand correctly, including in Bahrain. And you also report that Bahrain Sunnis have responded to the visits of the Israeli ministers, not about the military, but about the common cause of helping others. How so?
Bahrain Sunnis, like the rest of Bahrainis, they understand that the conflict at this point is not exactly Sunni versus Shia. The conflict is about national interests. And they understand that even though Iran tries to prop up Sunni cases, such as the issue of Jerusalem, they understand that this is only a bogus claim, that Iran is using these slogans to overcome any resistance to take over neighboring countries. Like you said, Iran doesn't have any neighbors. The only allies that Iran has in the region are protégés, are people who are in fear to Iran, who work for the Iranian regime. There are no friends or counterparts that are allies of the Iranian regime in the region.
So we're looking at bullies here, and the bullies don't usually get rewarded in the region. So the Abraham Accords is one way to respond to the bullies. What else needs to be done, Abdul? You've been very helpful to give me the history of Bahrain and how it is threatened by Iran. But what would be a project in the future that could lift all of this? Peace talks, accommodation? Do we have to wait for a regime change for there to be peace in the Gulf?
I think with Iran, the oldest maxim still works, speak softly and carry a big stick. And I think if we observe the behavior of the Iranian regime over the past decades, we will see that whenever America flexed its muscles, or any of the regional powers flexed their muscles, Iran retreated. Iran usually waits until they see that we are being lenient, and then they start bullying and they expand. And even they accelerate their enrichment of uranium. If you look at the past 5 years, you will see that after President Trump killed their general Soleimani, Iran just stepped back. It stopped bullying. It stopped enrichment. And Iran had to wait until the administration changed in the White House. They took the measurements of the new administration and they reasoned that they can get away with things. And that's why we see Iran now back to enrichment and back to bullying. So I just advise that we stick to the old policy of carrying a big stick while talking to the Iranians.
Hussein Abdul Hussein, for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, about a small island with a big, big concern of the Islamic regime of Tehran, writing most recently about Bahrain and the momentous visits of two Israeli ministers, including the prime minister, within these last hours. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.